Okay, so I saw you post a while ago, a post about, there's a couple of them about abundance mindset. One was a story about a guy who walks into a hat store and he asks for a hat and they tell him it's 300 bucks. So he says, "You have a cheaper hat?" And they said, "Yeah, we have it for 150." And he leaves it with the $150 hat. The next guy walks in and he says, "How much is a hat?" They say 300. And he's like, "Could you do it for less? Same hat, but could you do it for less?" And they're like, "Sure, if you trade in your hat, you can get that." So both guys spend $150, but one has a $300 hat and the other one has the $150 hat.
Exactly.
And it's not, so it's not about the money, it's about the mentality. So when did you discover this idea? When did it start to kind of make it, how did it start to make a difference in your life? Share a little
Right.
bit. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to abundant mindset, I think we all have that like point in life where at some point we wake up, we go through something, we're not satisfied. Sometimes it's unfortunately an illness, sometimes it's just pain and just processing or growing up or getting older, but something switches in us and we have this realization of like, okay, so what's really happening? Who's really in charge? What's really valuable? What do I really care about? And we all have those moments. Some try to push it away, some ignore it, some don't. For me, it happened when I turned 24 and I fell highly depressed. I wasn't feeling well. I don't know if I was sick with COVID, but I believe that not feeling well physically equals not feeling well mentally and vice versa. Like it's a rat race. And I was noticing my life just working a job, working from morning till night, not having my own life, not having my own day. All I did was care about the job. It was a construction job and it was hectic and needing to yell at people, needing to take huge responsibilities, needing to drive, I don't know, probably 30, 40 hours a week. And I didn't enjoy it. And I just said, why am I not feeling? Why am I not enjoying my life? Why does every day feel like a drag? And then I said, you know what? Maybe this can be different. I started searching for motivation. I bumped into a lot of videos of like Tony Robbins or Bob Proctor. And at a certain point, I started noticing that it's all in our mind. Like what we decide and what we choose and what we believe in, that will create our results. And it's hard to explain to somebody that's new to all this. Like, how do you explain to them that you can just manifest and attract whatever you want? But in reality, that's what we have. We all have what we attract. And one of my greatest mentors, Bob Proctor, said that most people tiptoe through life, hoping to make it safe to death. And I think that really explains it well, why so many people are not willing to open up, why so many people are not willing to go and search or go find a better version of life for themselves, and but rather just stick to what has been working, and whether it's their job or within the relationship, or if they're single to stay single, whatever it is.
Okay, so I mean, what you're basically saying is that life is painful, and like we come to a decision where either we stay with what we know and be somewhat comfortable, or we start to realize that our experiences are in our head.
100%. Not the only thing I disagree is on that life is painful. No, life is not painful. As the expression goes, ignorance is bliss, and some agree with that. That's what my life felt like in the beginning. Who cares? There's nothing to do. There's nothing to care about. I'm just working a job. I'm making money. I have no responsibilities. It felt great, right? Like, being single is like that. It's ignorance. It's like, oh, I'm single. I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want. I can make all the money that I want. I can, but all of that. It's not real. It's not real. We're here. I'm meant to be with a partner to give and to get. So it's like. But I do believe that everything is controlled by our thinking. And I do believe that many people get to the end of their life, 120 years, or usually typically 80, 90 years, and they say, "What did I do?" And they no don't have much to list, you know?
Yeah. So where does it start? Like, where does a person start to change how they think? I mean, I know for myself, like, when I was in a darker place, It was like, where do I start? Like, how do I, okay, I hear these ideas, I listen to a tape, but where does it actually practically start?
Right. Yeah, great question. The way to start is by getting clear on what you want. Get clear. Make a list, write it down, write it down. It's so powerful because you want to remember tomorrow what you were thinking today, right? The mind is constantly busy with millions of different things. So by writing it down and getting clear what you really want, now you know where you're heading towards to, right? You can be going on the slowest ship. As long as you put in a destination, eventually you'll make it to your destination. You can be in the slowest car. As long as you put in a GPS and there's a driver driving to that destination, it might take a very long time, but you will get there eventually. Most people, they'll spend years on planning out their house. They'll spend months on planning out their wedding or an event, but they wouldn't take an extra day to plan out their own lives. So for me personally, I made it a habit through good people, mentors, and help, good friends. I made it a habit to write down the goals, what I want in my life. So I have every day, I have daily goals, weekly goals, yearly goals. I even have a 5-year goal. What do I want? Do I want a house? Do I want a wife? Do I want children? How many children? Do I want money? How much money? How big of a house? Do I want a company? How many companies? How many clients? How much money? What do I want to do? How do I want to spend my day, my life? Isn't it important enough? We live one life. We have one shot at this, and it's my life, our life. Why shouldn't we plan it out? So by planning it out, you're sending a direct message. We all know that we're spiritual human beings. So by planning out our life and getting exactly clear at what we want, we're sending out a direct message to God, the universe, call it whatever you want, Lahavdul, Jesus, whatever higher power somebody chooses to believe in. By getting clear on what you want, you're sending out a message to God, to Hashem, as we know it, that this is what I want. Hashem, this is what I want. And we learn in many, many psukim and places that God follows us. We're in His shadow, and what we want, God follows us. That's what the Baal Shem Tov speaks a lot about. God follows us. Whatever we do, even if we were to do bad stuff, He would also protect us. He would also help us out in that quest of what we're doing. So, obviously, if it's for positive, then Hashem will help us, whatever that is. If a person is determined to get married, if a person is determined to have and raise a family, if a person is determined to make money, God feeds every living animal according to their will. That's the pusik. That's the pushat pshat. So, whatever I want, whatever somebody has in their will, that's what God will do. So, to answer your question, get really clear on what you want and watch how things get aligned.
It's very simple, but it's very true, and it really connects to the first idea because, I know that the sign of a person who's very difficult in a conflict or in a situation is you ask them what they want and they don't give you a straight answer. Because once a person says what they want, they basically now agree to be happy if they get it. But until they state what they want, they'll always have something to complain about. And so in a way, it's in a way to keep ourselves accountable and to like take a direction in life and to decide, I actually take some responsibility. It really does start with simply answering, like, what do I want?
I love that. Yeah, beautiful. Beautifully said. Yes. So much sense and add so much to what I said. I love it. Yeah.
so when a person now, okay, so a person writes down what they want. But then they're like, okay, I wrote it down, but now what? Like, now what do I do? What's the next step?
Once they write it down. So, great question. So, first of all, this is where this is where we have a emunah, which is faith, a belief that it will happen. Okay. I'll give you a personal example. Like I just bought my first house. I had no idea at the time where the money will come from, but I knew that if I found a house and made an offer got accepted, I gave a deposit, that went well. I knew step by step I had this 100% knowingness that it will happen. And I can tell you this week is closing. And the fact is that, everything kind of worked out. I landed a new client. I landed great sponsors for my podcast. I landed a few status advertisements, and money just started coming in. Somebody that was randomly owing me $1,000 paid me. This idea, that idea. I remember I checked in my YouTube account and I saw, oh, YouTube owes me $1,300, right? So I needed a couple of thousand dollars, and it all came together. It all happened. It was all here for me. And so when you talk about step one is belief, and sometimes you don't have to believe that you have the house right now, but the belief is that once I set my mind to it, and the hardest part is always the decision, but once you set your mind to it, now sit back and believe and enjoy. And it's hard to do that because especially if you're looking back to the past is not always that shiny. It's not always that great. People go through a lot of stuff, and it's difficult for them to base their entire success story on their past. So basically what they do is they look forward. Is they look forward and they hope that things will be better. But if they live in the moment right now and they say, hold on, how can I, yes, control the moment right now? Then things start to change. Because the only way to reprogram a subconscious mind, that part in our brain that already knows everything, already knows how to go to the bathroom, how to eat, how to walk, all those things that are happening just what we call automatically. What happens when you change it and you start working consciously towards it is you're reprogramming the subconscious mind. And if I tell myself consciously that I'm a good person, then subconsciously, I'll also start believing in every situation that I'm a good person. Even if somebody's directly shouting at me, you're not a good person, my subconscious mind at some point will know that I'm a good person, and vice versa. You take an innocent kid that is so pure, and we know that they believe that the whole world is theirs, right? They're so confident. They're always giggling and walking and talking and expressing themselves. You tell that kid for long enough that they are worthless, that nobody needs them, that they are a pain in the neck, and that they are, that you're not enjoying them. They start believing that, okay, maybe it's true. Maybe I'm just not worth it. Maybe I was a mistake. Maybe I'm just not good enough over here. And that's what most people do. That's how they grow up. And subconsciously, they have this belief that they are not good enough. So the first thing to do is to believe in oneself, believe in your dreams. And the more you keep on doing that, and every time you have this doubt towards the dream that you have, whether it's the business, the relationship, or the kind of personal life that you want, every time you have that doubt, you reinforce it with a conscious mind, with a conscious effort, and you tell yourself, yes, I do deserve this thing. Yes, I do agree that I deserve the best. The more you do it consciously, the more it becomes subconsciously and it becomes part of your life.
So I'm hearing two things in that that I find to be like really deep. The first is that the belief, and I think this is something that I recognize, like I struggled with, which is, I have sometimes more of a conservative mindset. So it's like, yes, I know what I want, and I want to get there, but to take this step, like to start buying the house before I know is the money there.
Right.
That something like that, was scary to me. And like it took certain people in my life to kind of nudge me forward to start like encouraging me to take those steps. And then as I started taking them, I was like, wow, things really do start falling into place once you just start moving forward.
Right.
So one of the things is, yeah, the belief it won't. And what I realized when that happened was is that if I'm doing anything new, it's not going to make sense until after I've done it. So if I'm waiting for it to make sense before, it
Yeah.
ain't happening.
Yep.
It's
Yep.
only going to make sense after.
Right.
And the other thing that I heard that I'm hearing you say is that it's in many ways It is a battle, but it's a battle won if you keep on fight, like if you keep on, that's the second thing I'm hearing, is that you need to keep on, because that example that you gave of the kid who is so happy and then all of a sudden these negative messages sink in, these are messages like over and over and over and over again. It's like if you could take something so good and destroy it, then you can also take something which is not where you want it to be and make it good if you keep on pouring in good stuff. So it's like belief in two levels, belief to do something before I understand what it is I'm doing and how it's going to work out. And also the belief that if I keep on doing these things, that eventually it's going to work.
Yeah, and that's so this is where pain comes into the picture. Because in order for you to want to work hard enough to do something that in the beginning doesn't seem like it's going to work, you had to have gone through some sort of pain to get to that place. That's my personal opinion. That's like why that's how God saves us. So in a sense, I feel like I learned already that in my life I am already watching for the breaking point. I'm watching for the down. I'm watching for something that can happen before depression so that I can change. I'm watching to see if I'm not present, if I'm not spending enough time with myself, with others, so that I don't fall into such a down in order to pick myself up. Rather, I just stay up and aware of myself, excuse me, constantly, so that this kind of mistake doesn't happen. Because ultimately, yes, a certain amount of pain is what pushes an average individual to say, hold on, what happens if I do put in the work? What happens if I do work hard and consciously remember that I can have technically whatever it is that I want and get to that life? And that's why pain is so sweet. It's literally, in my opinion, God's wake-up call. It's like, how do I nudge this person? You know what I'm saying? Like when you want somebody to realize, you tap them on their shoulder. This is God's tap on the shoulder. God doesn't speak to us in words. He speaks to us in experiences. And in a sense, sometimes the best way for him to make you notice something is by giving, unfortunately, pain. Of course, we don't want the pain. We want to experience only pleasure and joy. Well, if you'll remember to thank him and you'll remember to go after the kind of life that you want through experiencing joy after joy after joy, then yes, that's the kind of life that you will live. But think about it. Like if you had, your own kid or your own person that you take care of, and you see that they are struggling and they are just heading in the wrong direction constantly, at some point you would want that they experience something of a lesson, let's call it. Okay, let's not call it pain, but something that will give them a lesson. I was like, okay, it's like, you know what? You stay out there till 3, 4 a.m. and then see what happens the next day when you wake up late and you don't feel good, or you're not enjoying your day because you went to sleep late. Because that lesson, ultimately that pain, will teach them, oh, you know what? It's important to go to sleep early, or whatever example it is. But it's through the pain that we come to the lesson. Regarding this idea of only seeing it afterwards and not seeing it before, that's very true. And I'll quote Steve Jobs, who said, you can't connect the dots going forward, but you can connect the dots looking backward. So, and the same thing is with manifesting. You can see in your life right now where you are, what has been your results so far. You can't see what's going to be up in the future, but you can see your results till now. And if somebody's results is that they're sitting on their couch, they're not making enough money, they're not happy, they're not feeling well, they're not in shape, they're not successful, they're not in a relationship, then they should know clearly that they are doing something bad, something wrong, something is not right, because they have all these dreams and desires and they're not living it. So what can they do differently? And now they can only expect that when they do the proper change, that things will be different. And usually it doesn't take more than a couple of days or weeks to actually see the kind of change that one wants to see. And now here's the beautiful part that I want to add. The third part is that once you start building up that relationship with this kind of law of attraction and taking responsibility, it becomes a lot easier. Like you mentioned the house idea. Like Of course, now I can buy a house and know that I will land the 50 to 100 grand that I need for the house. Because this has been the record for the past 3 years. I've been constantly, again and again and again, reaching my goals, not being afraid, believing in God, talking to God, speaking out to him when I needed something, and he has delivered. So now I have a track record of over 1,000 days where it worked every single day, again and again and again and again. So no, I'm not afraid to make the biggest purchase of my life because he's been here through these last 3 years. And maybe I say 3 years, he's been here for 27 years, but I'm saying 3 years is when I discovered him on a deeper level, when I started talking more direct to him and connecting with him because I went through specific pain areas. But the point is, and this is where I challenge many people, I tell them, try the law of attraction, try speaking to God and asking him for something little. And once you get that little thing, your belief in him, your belief in this process will be so much stronger because now you know that it worked, right? So I think that that's super powerful. And once you build up that record, it will just continue to go and go and go again, and nothing will stop you. Like my goal for this year is to make a few million dollars, and I am so not afraid of it. A, because I am kind of like close there in the physical numbers, right? But B, because I remember making a goal for $100,000 and I reached it, and then two and three and five, and so like if I keep reaching the goals, why not just continue and believe that it will happen? And maybe we'll go through a little bit of turbulence and shaky things, ups and downs, and maybe one business will fall down, but another business will come up, and so on. But at the core, I know that I will achieve and get to my goal.
Yeah, I mean, you said a couple things here, and what I'm hearing is that, to believe and to constantly put effort into building something, the motivation for that does often start in pain. And so that is somewhat helpful. If a person like knows I am not, I mean, that's the, I mean, for me also, I mean, that's often the catalyst. That's what keeps us from falling back, is that we are not going back to that pain again. Like that's not happening. And
Yeah.
so that kind of keeps us going forward. And then at some point, there's a tipping point where it's no longer, there's like a total change in perspective and a change in mindset where this just becomes like the way of living. Like the more in my words, it would be like the more conservative thing to do is to take more risks and build, because that things just work that way. I'm not gonna go back to how things didn't work.
Right. Or I'm sorry to interrupt, but or your first approach is to believe that it will work out. Forget about the actions now. Your first approach will be to believe, yeah, it will work out. Like to believe positive, not from an ignorant place, but just to believe that it will be fine because God's protecting you. Like if you're in this situation right now, then yes, it's powered by God.
I once heard that we'll get more, I think maybe we'll pivot more into like the God stuff and the beliefs around this, because when you posted about this, there was these questions that came up. But one of the things that I read once is that, I think it was from the Lubavitcher, but basically someone who trusts in God, he's not even praying for the things that he wants, because he's just assumes they're gonna happen. It's like, why would I even pray about it? It's like, of course it's
Love
gonna happen. Like, that's what bittachon is.
I
It's like,
love that.
if you start to open a siddur and chuckle and feel like you're asking so hard, already in that there's a lack of bittachon.
I can so connect to that, and now to hear that it's probably backed by Lubavitcher Rebbe, but that means a lot to me, by the way. So thanks, Ari, for sharing that. I love it.
I don't remember the source, but I do remember hearing it. The
Yeah.
exact
Oh,
source
it's
of what.
fire. It's fire. It's so true, in my opinion. I love it.
So I guess what I want to ask you now is that some people, when they hear this, they question like, is this okay? Is this kosher? Is this in Yiddishkeit? Like, where did this, isn't it that whatever God does is for the best, whether we like it or not? Like, where does this arrogance come from that if I want something, I'll somehow get it?
Right. Right. So again, so from a spiritual place, you have all these ideas like, Bechira, or what's the point of life if we can't choose, right? So we learn time and time again that we are the consequences of our decisions for good or for bad. And that's technically the point of life. You're here to make a life. You're not here to just live and sit on the side of the street and wait for mercy to happen, right? That is reckless. You're supposed to take care of yourself, and Shmartam, you're supposed to support yourself. And we have this from modern day Rebbes or and Rabbunim and Manigai Yisrul to old time and what we have, Pesikim and stuff like that, where you continuously see the importance of getting out there and going out for doing your panusa, doing hishtadlus to create your own life. But then you have so that's the basics, the at the base. But then you have all those people that have this whole idea of like, okay, so I want to get something, I really, really want it. But who said I'm allowed? Who said that it's godly? And then when you talk to me about law of attraction, who said that this is coming from the Torah? So first of all, there are many people that gave, including Reb Motta Frank, which is an expect and respected, Rebbe and Manig by Klal Yisrael, is a Breslov and Mashpia, to be exact. And he made a whole sefer that talks about law of attraction linked to the Torah. Now, if somebody doesn't believe in Breslov, I can bring you a source that is completely on the opposite side, which is Skver, who originally doesn't align with the Breslov sources. And I know Inge Mann over there, his name is Rabbi Breyer, and he made a whole sefer also with the same idea of places in the Torah that reference to law of attraction, which means what's the meaning of law of attraction? Law of attraction means that everything that we have or we are is somewhat we attracted to ourselves, including the Novi Iyev, who went through all kinds of yesirim and pain in his life, and he said at the end of his life that everything that he feared revered, like basically everything that he was afraid of actually happened. So which comes to show that, good or bad, what we think about, what we focus about, somewhat somehow manifests into our lives. And there's no reason to get scared, because when we fear something, we don't give it that much negative energy. So generally speaking, it won't get into your life. But many people have experienced when they fear something a lot, and some version of that ends up coming into their life, which is sad. But same goes for the opposite, and the opposite is even stronger. When we're positive about something, excited about something, we keep on thinking about it, keep on believing in it, keep on imagining it, keep on working towards it, then there's no question about it that this thing will manifest and come into our lives. And now let's talk about the source, right? So we spoke a little bit about these psikim and this the way life works in general. And as I mentioned, Pesach, but if you want to speak about manifesting from a place of manifesting, when I am manifesting something, right, what other source is there besides God? So I think that these people that have an issue with manifestation in general, okay, because now we're moving from law of attraction to manifestation. Manifestation, generally speaking, is manifesting something positive, a house, a car, a wife, a spouse, kids, a happy life. You're manifesting stuff. If you find a different source, the person that's telling me that manifestation isn't real or it's not godly, I'll ask them, who are you when you ask for something, when you want something in your life, who is your source? If you're telling me that my source is not godly, who is your source? And the answer to this question is there's only one source. We are only one. We are one with God. God is one with us, and we are one with each other, with brothers and sisters. There's no division. Now, the reason why people are so against manifestation is because they haven't developed their connection to God. They haven't developed their connection with a path of manifesting their goals. They haven't even developed a connection with themselves. So when I tell them that whatever I want, I get, the only option that they have from two places, number one, from a place of just debunking it, and number two is they just want to question it. They don't understand it. Like, whoa, Ellie, you're getting all these things. What are you into? Like, for them, it can't make sense that this is all coming like from God, because they don't have even the connection with God to go figure out. And now they're upset, like, okay, so why don't I have this connection with God? And that's a different question that needs to be answered. I don't know who what you were told about God. Like, so that's up to you why you don't have a connection with him. So does that explain a little bit of the question and the
Yeah,
people that
I
question it,
mean,
why they question it?
so I think, again, like you're saying a lot of good things, and I'm hearing, I guess we'll start from the last thing you said, which is that the issue that a lot of people have with this is because if you don't feel a direct connection to God, and you see someone talking about these miracles happening in their life that somehow came as of something they did, it almost feels like someone's working black magic here, like something not kosher is happening.
Exactly.
You
Beautifully,
know,
beautifully said.
and so, and you know, I've seen this a lot, where it so much of our connection and how we serve God, it's not, it's only under, it's also something that you have to walk in it to understand it. You don't understand it before. You have to go in it and to understand it. And you can't understand what a connection to God is without experiencing what it feels like. And to
Yeah.
someone who hasn't experienced it, you could be saying what is exactly, I mean, because my experience was is that I learned a lot, but I couldn't feel much. And so I wasn't experiencing. So I had a certain understanding of what I was learning. And then
Right.
when I started beginning to experience things, everything I learned, my understanding of it completely changed. And then I realized, oh, that's what it meant. Oh, that's what that meant. Oh, now I get it. Oh, this is why I didn't understand it, because it's this. And
Right.
so, you end up getting into philosophical discussions about is this good or is that good? But in the end of the day, what you're really dealing with is that one person tasted the ice cream and so they can tell you what it is, and another person's never tasted it before, so they're just very confused.
Yep. Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
So then I guess the question I'd ask you is, how did this connection to God start to develop for you? And like what, like someone who is like, yeah, I don't know, like I've been learning, I've been taught all my life, this is the Yiddishkeit that I know. What is this? How does it start? Where does this connection to this more personal, internal, deep connection to God begin?
Right. Great question. I mean, I don't want to get too much into depth just to keep this short and interesting, but the idea is, as I mentioned, a little bit of pain and starting to question my own life and unhappiness pushed me into searching. And as I started searching and bumping into people like Tony Robbins or Bob Proctor, as well as one of my good close friends, a coach, Moshe Jung, I was able to start developing different mind patterns and starting to learn different things as to why am I who I am? Why do I have what I have? Why do I believe what I believe? And in that sense, I started noticing a different type of God. I grew up with this God of like guilt and shame and fear of everything, and I started noticing that, it's just not the real God. It's just not really who God is. Like, not even according to Torah or to Svarim. Like, it wasn't the real God. Like, I had this version of God that just simply wasn't true. So I started redeveloping my connection with him. And like I said, part of it is pain. If not for pain, I would have never searched. I would have just gone on with my life and lived ignorantly and to be happy with not being happy. Like, I would have just been ignorant. So, but then once you start developing this new connection with God by speaking to him and watching him speak back to you, I think it's very easy to start them building up a new real connection. I challenge people to this all the time. I always tell them, like, you have an issue, speak to God, speak out to him, watch how he sends you back a clue, watch how he answers your prayers in the most interesting and fascinating way, obviously, if you believe in it. Watch how, for me, it happens every time. Every time I ask him something, I'll see something show up. Somebody will call me, something, a clue, a thought, something will come into my head, and I'll see, oh, okay, God, thank you for being here and showing up for me.
Yeah.
That's God.
It reminds me of something I heard from Yul Khan. He was saying, like, he was answering the question, how does a chassid connect to a rebbe? What do you do? And he said, simply sit down, take a piece of paper, and write to him like you'd write to your best friend.
Wow.
And so, I mean, we're coming full circle here, and we'll wrap up, which is, it really, so much of it starts when a person sits down, asks himself, what do I want? And just sees it and sends it to God.
100%.
It really, there's details and techniques and all different kinds of things, but that really is the core.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for doing this. This was jam-packed. I enjoyed it so much.
My pleasure. Same, Ari, you have real good clarity, and it's amazing to speak with you. You know, everything that I said, and I thought I have clarity, but to hear it, you throw it back very nicely, and you add your special touch. I think it's amazing, and I know you do this for a living. You work with people and help them open up their mindsets, and so I want to wish you a lot of success, a lot of atzlocha, and I truly believe in you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It means a lot to me. I really appreciate that, Ellie. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Enjoy.